It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. We do that every morning. Of course, we're available from 6 a.m. and heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Gee whiz, already almost halfway through the month of April. It is the 14th day and also halfway through our weekend on this Sunday morning. And we had another incredibly busy week of podcast information in the way of real estate news. We kicked it off on Monday. We spoke to Lirian Daniel, and she told us about a survey report which revealed the impact of high temperatures and heat waves on people in properties during this past summer. Also, we spoke with Kate Ashton from Maryborough in Victoria about the $350,000 median house price for first home buyers. That sounds very, very appetizing. We also caught up with Mick Dolphin and found out about this abandoned mansion that has its own unique backstory. A little bit sad, really, and you could actually end up owning that property. What is fractional ownership and how low can you buy into this type of real estate investing? We found out all about that this week. And Antoinette Nido tells us about a recent international property ranking that has Melbourne above New York City and others. So that is all coming up on our Real Estate Sunday.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
We're so fortunate that we have a great community, which is why a lot of people move here for lifestyle, whether it's first home buyers or other demographics. And having a median house price of currently it was $357,000, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's for a house and land, and you can be part of our community. You could even buy a brand new house for around $650,000.
Okay, the people's hearts have just stopped. 350K. This is 2010 pricing. So what does somebody get? Just sort of break that down in terms of the land size and what sort of property would somebody buy for 350K?
So generally on a 350K, you're looking at anywhere between 600 and 800 square metres. It could be either a weatherboard or brick home and usually does need some love and attention. Not generally needing extensive, however, there are always those ones out there. But $350,000, you could actually be moving into a home that over the next few years, you might be able to transform into your dream home by doing little projects along the way.
Yeah, well, that's pretty phenomenal because there are these regional areas that have got similar price tags, but they're really some distance away from any major town or city. And I think the fact that you're only 2 hours to Melbourne and just an hour either side of Ballarat and Bendigo, that makes it pretty attractive. So apart from the price point, why are people moving there?
Lifestyle is the absolute key. We are not surprised when we have new residents come in and they say, oh my God, it's so friendly here. People say hello. They don't just look down at the footpath. We've got 4 supermarkets. We've got an amazing hospital about to be completely rebuilt. We've got education, we've got healthcare, and we've got every sporting facility you could think of. You can be as involved or not as involved if you want to be. And that's why people are moving here. Affordability, yes. Lifestyle, yes. It's just a great place to live.
Okay. And what has the growth been like? Can you tell us in terms of the last 12 months what's been happening in your market?
Yeah, so it's been very interesting. You know, people in Maryborough tend to hold on to their homes around 12 years, but we've also had 4% growth in the last 12 months. You know, things are changing as we would always expect. You know, some people leave, some people die, new people come in, families grow. And it's amazing how many people who maybe used to live here or had a connection are coming back because they can see the benefits of of living here and the affordability. You know, you can have a mortgage and you can actually have a life as well, which is really, really exciting.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
Because it's described as a mansion, but the price is between 1.1 and 1.2 million, I think, is the list price. We won't talk too much about the list price, but more about this property. It's got a bit of history.
Yeah, it's a bit of an icon for the area. It's certainly a very, very well-known property. And around 9 years ago, I sold it for the first time. The original owners were Eastern European and had decided that they wanted to build a beautiful large home in the wish that they'd have many children. But unfortunately, they couldn't have children. So this house is about 90 squares and solely constructed out of bricks and masonry. And they lived in there until about 15 years ago when they passed away, and it's been vacant ever since. And the last time I sold it, it was sort of in fairly poor repair, but unfortunately the last 9 years it's become a mecca for people doing a bit of graffiti. So it's certainly a grand house in many regards. I suppose it depends on your style and your taste, but it certainly invites a lot of stories from the local area. Whenever I think over the last 9 years, I still, even when it wasn't for sale, I'd get a call about every once a month asking if it might have been for sale. It's been on some of these Facebook pages where it's abandoned houses and all this kind of stuff, and people have done video walkthrough tours. So it's just got a lot of history, I suppose, for a lot of people find it fascinating.
We should point out it's got 8 bedrooms, 14 rooms, and it is on 13 acres. So it's quite a substantial property. How was it that it has ended up being in this abandoned situation for 15 years, you mentioned?
When the previous owners passed away, they had no relatives, and they passed it on to some members of their church. The family there sort of presented it for sale, and it took a little while to sell. So it hadn't been occupied for a number of years, and then subsequently the new buyer from 9 years ago had a plan of just making it a farm, and look, they just haven't done a whole lot on there. So it's sat there, and I think people are aware that it's not occupied. So, and it's an interesting building when you look at it from the street. So it's attracted lots of people, and I think predominantly with this Facebook post that people did with the abandoned houses, people have gone out there to investigate because it's just a fascinating property and people just love the story and want to know, they want to see it with their own eyes.
It's quite a sad story now that I'm hearing it for the first time. The people bought it to raise children. They couldn't have children. Then they died, and then the church got it, and then it's on Facebook. It's being tagged. I mean, that's pretty incredible sort of a backdrop. Is there enough inquiries that you're hopeful that you're going to be able to sell it to somebody that's going to bring it back to life, to its former glory?
Yeah, I think we've been very fortunate that due to the fact that it had good history last time being on Domain and Herald Sun and on the news, Channel 9 News, Channel 7 News. So I've made some contacts there, and because the history's there, we've been fortunate already to get a bit of coverage for the local paper and through Domain and the Herald Sun. So yesterday, I think I had a dozen inquiries on it alone. So certainly it's getting some very good traction again. My job in this case, as it was last time, is to filter out the people, I suppose, that are more serious versus the people that just love the story and want to have a bit of a look at it with their own eyes. So that's part and parcel of my job, and that's what I'll do. And we've already had some pretty good inquiries, to be honest, some really novel ideas, some people that want to restore it back to its former glory, some other people that have, you know, maybe want to do a business venture out of there. So yeah, it's very interesting talking to the people and all the ideas that they have.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
Absolutely. So I think there are a number of areas where we could have better regulation for housing standards in Australia. So one that you mentioned was, in terms of rental houses. And there we could think about some minimum standards in terms of perhaps insulation, maybe glazing, blinds, shading, as well as having efficient fixed air conditioning appliances. So these could be minimum standards that are required or audited at the point of lease, you know, making sure that the new tenants have a home that's going to be safe for them to live in. So a number of states and territories are looking at this type of regulation around Australia. I think Victoria is probably the one that's sort of leading the way in this. They've looked at minimum standards for heating as well as insulation. But it would be really fantastic to see national leadership in this area, so there's some level of consistency across Australia for renters. And then the second area that we could look at that would be really important would be looking at the National Construction Code. So the National Construction Code provides minimum standards for all the new houses that we built. And I guess we really need to be making sure that they're up to a high benchmark so that they're not outdated by the time that we finished building them, and they last and they're fit for purpose well into the future.
Yeah, I can hear some of the landlords saying, Craig, I am not enjoying this particular podcast today because I do so much already for my tenants. I'm a good landlord. Now, what would you say to somebody saying they're not enjoying the podcast this morning?
Yeah, I understand. And we do hear this. I think maybe if we change just a little bit the way that we think about housing. So, you know, if we maybe think of a house or a property, whether it's an investment or whether it's someone owning their own home, as first a home for someone and second as an investment, and really thinking about the types of standards that you would hope for yourself and your family as well. So, you know, we probably share expectations around having a comfortable and safe home for ourselves and our families. So if we're offering properties for rent in the private rental sector, then they probably ought to meet those same standards as well. But I do hear the pain, from the landlord sector.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
First off, tell the listeners, Robert, all about what fractional ownership is about.
Yeah, of course. So fractional ownership breaks down that co-ownership even further. So rather than you and some friends purchasing a property, you don't even need to know the other people. You can come in and you can take 10%, 5% of a property, and other people that are interested in that property take the remainder. It's all managed in a fully legal way via a regulated company. It means you can invest in real estate without having to have the full amount.
Before you get too excited, this is more of an investment. So you're not going in with somebody to live. It's an investment, right?
Exactly. And that's the main difference between this and like a timeshare. This is purely for people that are looking to invest in the real estate market rather than actually go to that place and live in it.
Okay. And the sort of people that are interested in this, we're going to talk about how many people can take the option up on a single property in just a moment. But what sort of people do you interact with? Like, I guess, what is the demo and, you know, what's the background for people looking to do this?
Now, that's the beauty of this, and it's a conversation I have with my marketing team fairly frequently. The demographic is enormous. If I say, you know, is it primarily men or women that invest? It's both. What about age ranges? It can be from 21 to 60 to 70.
And looking at a property, so how many people can actually get a bit of a slice on the property as an investment?
So there's regulations around this, as we mentioned. One of the regulations is designed to protect the individuals. So we don't want any one investor owning too much of each property. The maximum investment allowed per individual is 33%. So that means there's a minimum of four investors and a maximum of however many. My company, for example, we do a minimum investment of 500 dirhams. You take the price of the property, you divide it by 500, that's the maximum number of investors. So a more expensive property can have more investors.
Okay, so we're looking at a property. What's the minimum investment that I can make?
It's 500 dirhams. It's as low as that. The reason we set it low is to enable anyone to invest. We don't want to stop real estate being in the hands of individuals that want to see the benefits of it. For a long time, we've all known that if you invest in real estate, you get good returns. We all know that. We're in the real estate market here. From a very early age, you buy houses, you buy properties. If you can, you then buy another one and you rent it out and you are just set for life. This is enabling people that can't afford that second property in its entirety to still get the returns from it. If you own 10% of a property, you get 10% of the returns.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
Stephen, the breakfast on the table in regional Victoria. The breakfast table's looking a little bit different in Toorak.
Oh, I think that's right, Craig. Good morning to you too. So the median house price in Toorak is $5 million. So very different to Maryborough.
Yes, indeed. A lot different. Now, let's have a look at the first quarter for 2024 because it is behind us.
We look to the Knight Frank's global residential forecast for 24. And the staggering thing that came out of that, Craig, is that for the first time ever, you've got Australian cities, Sydney ranking number 5, and Melbourne ranking number 8 in the world, ahead of world-class cities like Monaco, Paris, New York, and London.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.